Sabre bebe shikete. Sorebebe tete. Sotobre bebe shike. I see the Lord putting hunger mantles on people. That your hunger is going to bring you into the holy place, and your pursuit is going to unlock glory. Shata bre de rebebe shike. Shaka to rebebe shike. Rebebe sikando re tete. Sande rebe shite lemando. God, we lose glory tonight. We lose glory tonight. We lose glory tonight. We lose glory tonight. I remember a number of years ago being in a meeting with Pastor Benny Hinn's brother when he was saying repeatedly, we're never changed in the presence of a man, but we're always changed in the presence of God. I believe there's something about the glory of God that changes you forever. I had an encounter, and I didn't want to get deep into it, but I had an encounter recently where I saw this huge glory cloud. But as I looked into the middle of the cloud, I began to see these storms. I could see lightning storms. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, the lightning strike is going to hit dry ground in places and going to begin to erupt revival in regions and territories. I saw tornadoes and storms of tornadoes in this glory cloud, not natural but spiritual. And the Lord said, I'm going to send winds of refreshing, and I'm going to send winds of transition, that people that have been trying to figure out where do I go and what do I do and what is next, I'm going to begin to send the winds of transition. Many of you are going to find yourself, you've been in this one thing, this one place, this one ministry, this one position, and swiftly and suddenly God's going to transition you and shift you. Swiftly and suddenly it'll be like you woke up from a dream that all of a sudden nothing looks the same. Your relationships aren't the same. Your language isn't the same. Your prayer is not the same. I'm telling you, I prophesied the windstorms of revival. I prophesied the windstorms of refreshing. I prophesied the glory storms to begin to come on the lives of people. The devil might say there's danger storms all around, but we say there's glory storms. We say that America is going to be caught up in the glory storm. We say we're going to be caught in the swirl of the glory, in the swirl of revival, in the swirl of awakening. We're not going to be caught up in any other storm but the glory storm of heaven, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory storms. Glory storms. I believe there's a spirit of revival in this place tonight. And one thing I learned about revival, revival never comes so that we can say we had a good meeting. Revival comes to shift us, to move us. Every time you're ever in revival, you're shifted, you're moved. I don't believe we just stood up here for 2 hours singing about the witch is dead and shift so we could have a good time. Something has moved. Something has shifted. Prophetic utterance has been released tonight, and we've moved to another level. There's a new mantle that's been released in your life tonight, and you will not be the same.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Many of you came here to catch something in the spirit. I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight. Now, many years ago when the glory of God would come like this, I'd just stay in it for 4 hours. And I never preach a lick because I got saved and went into churches that they preached for 4 hours, but God didn't do very much in their meetings. So when I began to move in the glory, I just would move in the glory. But I learned you can't build or sustain anything without the word of the Lord. So I want to give you the word of the Lord. I want to talk to you for just a few moments tonight about new mantles. I want you to tell somebody. In fact, I want you to find two or three people and prophesy to them and say, I see a new mantle coming on you tonight. Worship team, I see a new mantle already on you tonight. Lord says you've crossed over into a place of prophetic and apostolic worship, that you're going to begin to shift the atmosphere and shift the heavens. We call a new mantle over you. Naomi, I see a new mantle on you. You're going to run across America, igniting the fires of revival and glory. The Lord said you're not going back to the same. It's not going to be the same. You are my prophetess, says the Lord. There's a Deborah mantle and anointing coming on you to prophesy, to decree, and to rule. And I lock it in the spirit in the name of Jesus. New mantle. Hallelujah. 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 I believe every pastor, every church leader in here, you're getting a new mantle tonight. I don't know what mantle you came in here. My God, I'm going to run. I don't know what mantle you came in here with, but I declare to you, in the name of Jesus, you're leaving with a new mantle. It's a new season. There's a new mantle for a new season. There's a new garment for a new season. There's new glory for a new season. Behold, all things are new tonight. You're walking into newness, new levels, new anointing, new sound, new songs, new prayers, new mantles. We release new mantles in the name of Jesus. New mantles, new mantles, new mantles.
Hallelujah.
Catch it. New mantles unlock new anointings. New anointings are being unlocked tonight. New garments are being released tonight. New levels are being brought tonight. I hear the Lord say, there's an anointing for restoration tonight. The Lord says, that which has been stolen, that which has been plundered. The Lord said, many of you have felt hopeless. Many of you felt like it would never happen. The Lord said, many of you have prophetic words you gave up on. I come tonight. I wish I had a spoon, but I'll just pretend I do. I come with a big spoon, and I just stir up those prophetic words tonight. I stir up those prophetic declarations tonight. I say the prophecies of the Lord are not dead. I stir, 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 stir. In the name of Jesus. Though the vision tarries, wait for it. It is for an appointed time. New mantles launch you into new seasons. If you have a Bible, quickly go to 1 Kings 19, 19. Ephesians 4:24 said, put on the new self. Hallelujah. Put on the new self. I don't know what the old self was for you. It might have been drug addiction. It might have been perversion. It might have been depression. But Ephesians 4 is a good word for you. Put on the new self. My God said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Revival is newness of life. There's a new anointing tonight. There's a revival fire tonight to put on a mantle of newness. You might have been in a season of struggle, a season of adversity, a season of challenge, but the Lord said, rise into your new season. Put on your new garments tonight. There's a garment of fire. There's a garment of glory. There's a garment of deliverance. There's a garment of healing. And the Lord says, put it on. Put on the new garment. Tell somebody, I'm new tonight. Ephesians 6:10. You know, some people want to swim in the glory. They don't want to slay dragons. I've had people tell me, I was doing a spiritual warfare conference. One of the leading prophetic worship leaders. I love glory people, but you can't just swim in the lazy river all the time. Sometimes you got to get out of the lazy river and you got to fight. You know, these people say, oh, I just soak with Jesus all the time. Well, I like to soak, but then I got to get unsoaked. And I got to put on my battle armor. And I got to go find me a demon. You know, I feel like that Wheaties used to have their slogan, Wheaties is the breakfast of champions. I feel like in my life, casting out devils is the breakfast of champions. Sometimes I just wake up and say, I need a demon this morning. I need to find somebody that's got a devil. And I need to just lunge on top of them and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out. Because I need to feel that a deliverance anointing on me. I'm not just saved to swim in the river. I like the river, but sometimes I got to get out of the river and get up on the bank and get my sword of the Lord and cut the head of Jezebel and Python and religion's See, we're not going to have revival be sustainable if you're a wimp and not a warrior. We need less wimps and more warriors. We need those that have got their armor. There's a new mantle for people that know the glory, but they know the fight too. I was doing a warfare conference, and this very well-known, and I respect this person, they're a good person, very well-known worship leader got up and opened up and said, "We're not going to yell at devils." So I got in the back, and I said, "Listen, bro, I don't know how you cast out demons. Well, I don't get there in the second heavens. I just stay up in the third." I said, "Well, you know, I started traveling foreign missions, and people tried to attack me. Devil sent a gang member after me in Belize and started cussing me and came at me. And I said, my God, I don't know what to do." And the Holy Ghost said, "Pray in tongues." I just said, "Shakata riketeteta, leba soto brahatata, leba sikelevasa." He stared at me. And as I began to pray in tongues, preach started coming out of me. And I started preaching to him. He started weeping. I said, he dropped his beer, quit cussing. And I said, "Let me lay my hands on you in the name of Jesus." And I began to lay my hands on him. There's a war mantle God wants to loose on some people. There's a victory mantle God wants to loose on some people. There's a new breed of revivalists that are going to plunder the gates of hell and loose the power and the authority and the glory of our God. I went to Central America one time. Every devil came after us. Youth pastor, this little youth pastor weighed 100 pounds. I had a bodybuilder with me. The youth pastor started manifesting, was throwing the bodybuilder, throwing all these men. We warred with the devil till midnight. I mean, about 20 people manifesting everywhere. Demons come in my room. The principality came, said, "If you don't get..." I was preaching in Croatia. Biggest evangelism meetings in Croatia was Reinhard Bonnke, 800 people. Tough country. I went there and God said, "I'm giving you the nation." They gave me the local auditorium. 1,200 people came out. And we were preaching, and God was shaking the nation. Miracles, signs, wonders, doctors coming, secular journalists coming, reporting on what was going on. And I'm praying, and the Lord told me to start doing an impartation the last night every year that I went there. About 1,300 people, and I'm laying hands on them. One night I'm praying, this man comes to the front, and the Lord said, "Son, he's in severe darkness, beginning to bind him." I didn't know he was a member of the mafia. He was sitting in his seat, and a voice of the devil said to him, "Go and hurt that man." He came down front to hurt me. I didn't know it, but the Holy Ghost. And I said, "I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command you to stop. You will not harm me. I command the demon power in you to be broken." And I began to break the power of the devil. And that man froze. The lunge, he moved his arms forward. And all he could do is grab my waist. I was glad he grabbed my waist because that was a point of contact. So what was in me could start affecting what was in him. I began to break the power of that demon. All of a sudden, that man hit his knees and began to shriek. He said something in Croatian, and people in the congregation started weeping. The lady came to me, the translator, and said, "Sir, he's the bill collector for the mafia. He got born again. When I go now, he's my driver." The mafia said they were going to kill him. He said, "You can kill me, but let me tell you what happened first." When they saw the video, they said, "Surely God has shown up, because we've never seen you cry. You've wounded people. You've killed people. You've never cried. But when Jesus came into that man's life, he began to weep like a baby." So I said to that worship leader, "I don't know what kind of demons you faced, but I faced some demons. And we need power over them." Ephesians 6:10 said, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Listen, I find no permission in Scripture for defeat. We need a new mantle of victory on the church of the living God. Some of us are going around, "Well, how are you, brother? I'm just trying to make it." I'm telling you, the devil's been on my back all week. Kick him off your back and put him where he belongs, down under your feet. Write every message for demons on the soles of your shoes and prophesy from the nastiness of your feet on the head of the devil. We need a mantle of victory. I get discouraged when I hang out with most pastors, because they're discouraged. They're trying to figure out how to keep lukewarm people satisfied. When the Holy Ghost leaves your church, you need more programs to satisfy people. When the glory leaves your meetings, you need more coffee. I like coffee. But you need more coffee, more donuts, more strategy, more programs. Those things are all good, but if there's no glory on it, we're just another organization. We need the glory of God. Many pastors are struggling because they've become eunuchs in their own church. Jezebel has taken their potency. They've become a servant of religion. They preach a hard-hitting message. Their phone is going off that afternoon with every offended person. Because America has become a nation full of prideful people. How do you know that, Ryan? Anytime you gauge the level of offense, it reveals the level of pride. Because dead men don't get offended. We need a mantle of death in Christ on our lives. That's the road to glory. I used to think I wanted the anointing that Catherine Kuhlman had till I watched the video where she told the secret of her power. And she said, I'm the most lonely human being on planet Earth because of the demand on my life to spend time with God to get what I've got. Ephesians said, my brother, be strong in the Lord. The powers might put on the whole armor of God. Again, he didn't say, I'm going to put it on you. He said, you've got to put it on. So many times we say, well, I've prayed every prayer. I've done everything. But you need to take a new mantle tonight. Put on a mantle of victory. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the strategies, the structures, the systems, the wiles of the devil. Now let's go to our text in 1 Kings 19:19. One encounter with a mantle can shift your life. One encounter with a mantle can shift your ministry. One encounter of the mantle can shift your family. One encounter of the mantle can make everything new in you. One encounter of the mantle can turn you around. One encounter of the mantle can cancel your debt. One encounter of the mantle can heal your body. One encounter of the mantle can shift your children. I'm telling you, there's a reality to mantles in the spirit that when you come under the right mantle, everything is new. 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed. This is Elijah. He departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed over to him, watch this, and threw his mantle on him. Now, real prophets are not always politically correct and polite. Sometimes they just do crazy stuff. If you start to raise up a prophetic church, don't get all upset because strange things happen. Sometimes in the middle of worship, some prophet runs up to you and goes, I got a word from the Lord. And you're like, but it's not the time. We're going to play the video announcements. We're going to do this. But prophets don't always move politically correct. Elisha is just minding his business, running his business. And Elijah walks by and just throws a garment on him. But watch this. When that mantle was released over him, supernatural power came on him. Everything shifted. Where are the prophets like Elijah that shift lives, that shift regions, that shift territories? I don't just want a cute prophetic mantle that I'm on the cover of a magazine. I want a shift mantle. I want a mantle that moves things, that changes things. I want a mantle that brings the heavens. Elijah had a mantle that brought the heavens. People come to me and say, I want your mantle. I say, you're not ready for my mantle. My mantle took me 20 years of wilderness. I was in Bible college at 17 under accusation. I was going to go to the director. I said, I'm going to go right now and march in there and confront those people. And the Lord said, you will not, son. I'm teaching you something. I said, what are you teaching me? He said, what's on you? It's going to cause offense to be around you your whole life. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it. You're going to get people get offended before you even get there. Now I've got cyber stalkers that send out messages. Anyone get a crazy message before I came in your inbox? Yeah, I got cyber stalkers. I've been promoted. They stalk all my meetings and message everybody that's coming. Well, I say, devil, you've exposed yourself. You just revealed my promotion. You just revealed my upgrade. So I'm not discouraged by you. I'm encouraged by you because I'm on your hit list. But guess what? You're on my hit list. I've got a mantle to plunder you. I've got a mantle to wreck you. I got a mantle to defeat you. I'm not scared of you. I got an anointing in me to pull you down.
Hallelujah.
I believe God wants to give nation-shifting mantles to people. I'm tired of these impotent prophets that come in and they say they got this and that. I'm so deep and I got this and I got, but nothing shifts. They quote the Greek and the Hebrew, but there's no oil dripping off of it. They're intellectual, they're educational, they're theological, but they don't shift anything. They don't move anything. Baby, I need something to move in my life. I need something to shift in my life. When you throw a mantle over me, I need things to open up. I need a revelation to come. I need breakthrough to come. Nation shaking mantles don't come because you're cute. Nation shaking mantles don't come because you have a stylist. Nation shaking mantles don't come because you got the latest buzzwords or Facebook followers. Nation shaking mantles come because you've been in the low place. You've been in the wilderness. You've been in the cave. You've been in a place where Jezebel, Jezebel's brother, Jezebel's nephew, the nephew's nephew, the second cousin, they've all been after you. They're on your back and you're just pushing and praying and plowing and trying to get through. But all of a sudden, that Micah 2 breaker comes on you and you just break on through. You break on loose. You break on out. I release that breaker anointing in the authority of Jesus' name. I say that things are breaking loose. Things are breaking up. Things are breaking forth. I say in the name of Jesus, the Lord God of the breakthrough is here tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord told me in Bible school, he said, you'll face this persecution all the days of your life. I didn't like that word, but I've gotten used to it. Paul had a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. I personally believe that messenger was a demon. That everywhere he went before he got there, people were stirred. Why? Because Paul didn't carry a mantle to come and teach people. He did teach. He did preach. But he carried a mantle to shift regions. So before he ever got physically to the region, the demon powers that ruled the region stirred people up. I believe there was a messenger that went ahead of him and would tell the demonic communication system, Paul is on his way. Frustrate the churches. Get them offended. Get them angry. Get them upset. When he begins to preach, twist his words. Bind their minds. Change what they hear. Do everything you can to confuse them and frustrate them. Try to quench his anointing. Try to confuse his mind. Try to hinder his spirit. But Paul says, well, they couldn't mess with Paul. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That was not a word that meant if Paul was looking at all of us, he could point at one and say, I pray in tongues more than you all. The actual Greek word there means collectively. He said, if I measured the totality of the prayer lives in this room, I spend more time in the spirit realm than all of you collectively. Paul could not be stalled out by what was happening on planet Earth because his prayer life was up there. So when he addressed things on planet Earth, he was not addressing them on an equal footing. He was addressing them on a superior level of glory. People don't understand this about the glory. We need to upgrade our deliverance paradigm. This is not my message, but I believe it's a mantle that's coming to America. I was preaching in Oklahoma City. I was swept up into the spirit, and I saw stadiums in this nation filled with people. But what I saw next began to scare me. I saw Pentecost fire start coming to the stadiums, and people were falling. Not the charismatic, you know, Pastor Benny Hinn, wave a hand and the catcher catch. It wasn't that. It was nasty falling. It was ugly falling. They were taking rows of people out when they fell and shaking uncontrollably and screaming and rolling. Ushers couldn't control it. And it was happening in mass in these stadiums. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, there's an upper room glory that's going to hit America, and it's coming through those vessels that have remained pure, those vessels that would not change their message or alter their course. There's an upper room glory that's coming. And I saw that glory. And then I said, but the devils are coming out of people and nobody's casting them out. The Lord said, I'm casting them out. He said, my kavod, weighty glory is crushing demon power out. I believe there's a realm in the glory of God that smashes devils, smashes depression, smashes infirmity. I believe in cast down devils, but when the glory comes in, the glory starts dealing with them. See, whenever you come in the realms of the glory of God, you won't understand many things. There was this one thing that used to bother me and offend me because I didn't understand it. People started talking about it. I said, I don't believe that. I don't want that. I believe in preaching. I believe in laughing. I believe in falling to the floor, but I don't want that other thing. Until it happened to me personally. And God showed me in the Word how to back it. But prior to that, I didn't want it. But in the glory of God, things happen you don't have a grid for. And revival will challenge your thinking. Revival will challenge what you know. Because when revival comes, you can't say, okay, we're going to have a two-hour revival meeting. We're going to sing and we're going to preach and we're going to do this. No, no, no. When revival shows up, it's like chasing something. You don't know whether to sing now, to preach now, to prophesy now. You know, I learned this when God started visiting me in revival. I got around all these people that knew revival, and they would say, Ryan, we don't know what we're doing. We just act like it. And I said, that helps me because I don't know what I'm doing either. When that glory shows up, I just go with it. Lord, what do you? I think you might want to pray for people right now. I'm going to pray for people right now. You know, people get all uptight. You can't really be anointed and be uptight all the time. Why? Because when oil comes on something, it's moving. It's flexible. When you're uptight all the time, there's a lack of oil. A lot of you, I'm just apostolic and I'm just blah, 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 blah. 10 reasons the Holy Ghost can't move in your church. 15 deceptions that hit the charismatics. 35 reasons revival's not for today. I'm so fed up with all that negativity in the name of Jesus. I'm fed up with all this stuff. I have respect for those people, but I just want to chase God. I don't want to hear 15 reasons I can't do this and 35 reasons this is not of God. And we're going to write an open letter to Justin Bieber and say he can't be saved because he drank last week. And I'm just over all that. I just want the move of God. I just want the glory of God. Things happen I don't understand. I don't have an explanation for. I don't have a grid for. But I want to see people's lives touched. I want to see nations saved. I want to see America. I don't have time for your bitter spirit in the name of I'm apostolic, I'm prophetic, and I'm going to tear everybody. I don't have time for that. Do we realize people are beat down enough? They don't need to come to our churches and get beat down. They need to get set free. Many of the churches are preaching on slavery. The biggest slave masters are in our pulpits. I'm going to start a school of the apostles. Here's how you be an apostle. You carry my napkin. You're going to be my second apostle. You carry my water. If I stagger a little bit, you just hold me up there. But I thought I was going to get trained. Be quiet. I'm the chief apostle now. But in 25 years, when you're 75 years old, I'll let you preach for 15 minutes. I'm telling you, there's a new breed arising that we're not going to wait till we're 75 years old on a walker. And now you say, well, you're finally ready. And we come staggering up and preach for 5 minutes because Pharaoh had us as a slave. I say in the name of Jesus, let freedom ring from sea to shining sea. Let freedom ring from west coast to east coast, from north to south. I say, let the emancipation proclamation hit the house of the Most High God in the name of Jesus. Pharaoh, let God's people go. Worried about where there's so many things going on in the world. There are. We're out tearing down all kind of stuff in the world, but we're in chains in the church. Let judgment begin in the house of the Lord. Let's get rid of slavery spirits in the church before we're getting rid of them everywhere else. I mean, I want them out everywhere. But dear God, if we can't get them out in the church, If the only apostolic anointing we've got is to get big offerings out of the people of God and enslave them, I believe in honoring what you sow into, you're going to reap from. In fact, I can't find scriptural permission for you to even get an impartation if you've not served under that mantle. But I also believe that many of us have twisted these truths and used these to rape and pillage the people of God, and we've lost our oil. We've lost our glory. So now we got to scream louder. Now we've got to articulate more. Now we've got to ensnare and enslave more, because we don't have any glory. But if we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we'd put on a new mantle and get our glory back. I say there's a new generation, and I'm not talking about age. You can be 80 years old and be a part of this. I say there's a new breed of apostles rise up that are firm but loving, that are powerful but forgiving, that are merciful, that are fathers and mothers. They don't want a plantation and slave owners. They want a family to begin to mantle, sons and daughters to run with this thing. The spirit of the apostolic is the spirit of reproduction. If all you reproduce is armor bearers, you're not apostolic. You're controlling. I believe in armor bearers. Thank God for armor bearers. But you know what? I believe in sons and daughters too. I was preaching in El Salvador, and the Lord told me there's no glory in this nation. It's the murder capital of the world. The Lord told me there's no glory in this nation because the spirit of Saul is ruling over this nation. I had a pastor's conference. I paid for it. 400 pastors. The Lord said, I want you to preach a message like it's the last message you ever preach. I want you to rebuke the pastors and tell them quit enslaving the young people. He said many of them are controlling and binding the young people. They won't let them plant churches. They're making them wait 25 years. He said, I want you to rebuke the spirit of Saul. I said, God, they'll kick me out. He said, you paid for the meal, you paid for the meeting, you rented the auditorium. Preach it like it's your last message. Preach like you're gonna get kicked out. And I preach, let my people go. There's a new generation of apostolic leaders that want to mantle the next generation and say, run with this thing. Elijah threw a mantle on Elisha, and it shifted his whole life. I prophesy the release of new mantles tonight. I see it in the spirit. This church received a new mantle tonight. This region received a new mantle tonight. Watch this now. He passed over through his mantle. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah. When a cloth hits you, it doesn't cause you to run. But when an anointing hits you, it causes you to run. There are mantles so powerful that if the corner of that mantle comes over you, you can do what you couldn't do before. Suddenly, Elisha's whole life shifted at the release of a new mantle. I believe tonight there are people's lives shifting at the release of a mantle. There are things shifting at the release of a mantle. Things are moving at the release. When I said that, I just saw an angel of the Lord going up this intersection. And I saw healing power being poured out. The Lord said, there's a birthing of healing ministries. Father, I release healing mantles. I release that healing glory right in this section right here. Not just for them to be healed, but Lord, for them to begin to heal the sick in the name of Jesus. I cast mantles of miracles on people. You're catching it right now. I see words of knowledge, uncommon words of knowledge. I saw it hit you, uncommon words of knowledge. Shikiti, this lady behind you, just tap her on the shoulder, ma'am. Tap her. Lord says you're being mantled afresh and anew. Lord said you've been persecuted, you've been reviled. The devil's tried to bind you and steal your breath and choke the wind out of you, but you're receiving new mantle tonight. Lord said the word of knowledge is coming alive in you. You're going to hear things from the spirit realm. You're going to know things from the spirit realm, and there's a realm of power decree that you'll decree a thing and it shall be established. You'll speak, be healed, and they will be healed. I lose that mantle over your life. And the Lord said, there's nations in your belly. And I turned away from you. I saw an apostolic coat of many colors on you. The Lord said, there's nations in your belly. I see the fuel going into the airplane. The Lord said, the season of the sending is coming. It's been a long time coming. There have been lots of delays, lots of holdups. Yashaka, you had many prophetic words telling you it was coming. But I say in the name of, I hear the alarm clock going. And the Lord said, the announcement is now. 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 Shata baba baba yata salamande shaka baba. Your whole life can shift when a mantle hits you. I was sitting in a back room one night. John Kilpatrick came. Anyone here of Pastor Kilpatrick? He said, son, how old are you? I said, I'm 37. He said, the year you turn 40, everything in your life is going to shift. Everything is going to change. What you do is going to shift. How you do it's going to shift. Everything's going to shift. And that year that I turned 40, everything shifted. I'm 42. I was in Texas, in San Antonio, sitting in a back room. And Prophet James Gall was there. James said, Ryan, there's something about the year you turned 40. Everything shifted. Remember, God said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. The Lord just told me something recently. He said, there's prophetic layers. When God is speaking to you about markers in your life, it's a layer, and he'll have people predict it before it comes and take you back to it as a memorial, because it's a moment in time that marks you, that from that moment on you are forever changed. We have certain prophetic markers in our lives, and God will create prophetic layers to identify for us the shift. And I'm telling you, when that mantle hit my life, it shifted something in me. I was never the same. I was on a journey for about 2 years preaching and studying impartation, when all of a sudden the Lord sent me to Oral Roberts' home before he died. And Oral laid his hands on me. He said, son, what do you want? I said, I want some little bitty portion of what you had that shook America in those tent meeting days. He said, such as I have, I give it unto you. And when I came under the corner of that mantle, everything in my life shifted. When I was 17 years old, I listened to teaching on tape by a man named Norval Hayes. He would say things like this: God told me that woman be healed, so we got her out of the wheelchair and drug her for 2 hours, commanding her legs to work, and after 2 hours she was healed. He would say things like this: I started preaching at 7 o'clock at night, and at midnight God showed up and miracles broke out. And I said, God, in my nice charismatic church, I don't see that. I need that. I want that. God said, get rid of everything you have, leave your family, and move across the nation and serve that man. Little did I know I would end up living in his house and coming under a piece of his mantle. All those mantles solidified me in my identity. When Elisha loosed a mantle over Elijah, everything shifted. We don't understand this. I was preaching in Roanoke, Virginia. A lot of us have nastiness on our lives that came from the wrong mantle touching us. Some of us need deliverance from somebody else's mantle. I was in Roanoke, Virginia. I'm getting ready to preach, and the Spirit of God said, son, there's sexual demons overrunning this church. I said, oh, that's nice, Lord. I don't know what you're telling me that for. He said, because I want you to tell the people. I said, I'm not telling them any such a thing. He said, I will not move in this building. I will not do a single thing if you don't say that. I said, I am not saying that, Lord God. He said, then it's your meeting. I got up and I said, the Spirit of God said to Prophet Sevier, everyone looked happy. I said, there's massive sexual demons running rampant in this church. And the Lord said, he wants people that are battling those demons to come to the front and break the power of those off your life. To my amazement, people started coming to the front. I began to pray like I normally prayed. Come out, go, you know, the normal prayer. I got in front of this man and prayed. And when I began to leave him, he grabbed me forcefully and yanked me. Now, I've had devils try to attack me before, so I thought he was going to try to attack me. And I reared back. But he said, sir, you will not leave me until I get free tonight. I've struggled with this all of my life. When he said those words, it was like electricity hit the top of my head, burst down through my feet. I lunged forward and said, in the name of Jesus, I command this demon of aversion, come out of him. And bam, he hit the floor. He later said he was molested as a child. And a dark cloud came into his bedroom and came inside of him one night. And he had been bound with perversion ever since. And he said that night, that grip was broken on him. He pulled a mantle over him. One of the false teachings that we have is that we can come into an atmosphere and just randomly get something. I find no place in the Bible that anybody got something by accident. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was not having a healing meeting. He was just walking along and she pulled him into healing. Blind Bartimaeus screamed until Jesus had to turn his attention on him. When you get thirsty, when you get hungry, when you get desperate, you will pull on that mantle and say, I've got to have it. There are moments in our life that we must have the power of a mantle over our lives. Now, what about when there's no one carrying a mantle? There's a heavenly mantle we can pull on. There's mantles from the ages that fell when men and women died and left them in the earth that we can pull on. There's many multiplicities of mantles. I want to go just a little bit further, just a few more moments tonight, and I'll be finished. In verse 20, it says, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father, my mother. I will follow you. A mantle will always cost you something. A cheap impartation has cheap results. Many people have the right call, they've heard the right word, they have the right gifting, but they're not connected to the right fabric of identity. Many people have people come and cast a mantle on them that is not the appropriate mantle for their assignment. One of the most brave things you can do is say, I appreciate this mantle. I appreciate what it's helped me with. But there's something being placed on my life in this season that's calling me to run in a new direction, to run in a new way, to run in a new capacity. I don't know why we get bound the spirit of tradition and just say we can't move in anything new. Isaiah said, behold, I do a new thing. There are times in God that you need a new mantle to do the thing God's calling you to do. Many times God will bring someone new into your life to release a new mantle over you. Now, sometimes we think, well, I'm connected to this, but I'm being drawn to this, so I got to disconnect from this. Sometimes God's trying to add to the fabric of your identity. You got this healing mantle you're connected to, but you need more prophetic. So you got to connect to that. It's not saying let go of the healing. It's saying have both of them. Elijah threw that mantle and Elisha took off running. A mantle will always cost you something. He said, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. He said, you need to weigh this thing. You need to understand this thing. You need to know that everything's going to shift. Watch this. So he returned from following him, took the pair of oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh, took the implements of the oxen, gave it to the people, and arose and followed Elijah. Now, there was something twofold I want to show you. I just need to teach for a moment. There was two things happening. The catch, the releasing of this new mantle. Number one, there was the power of the prophetic in operation, and the prophetic shifts things. Let me dive into this. True prophetic words shift you. I mean, when God prophesies to you, it shifts you. It sends you in a new direction. Prophetic anointing shifts you. Prophetic anointing shifts people. It shifts families. It shifts churches. It shifts businesses. Prophetic people shift. See, prophetic people, if they don't shift, they stagnate. Prophetic revelation shifts. So when Elisha came in contact with Elijah, it shifted him because it was the prophetic anointing. But there's a second dimension. He was called to father him. Watch this. This demands pursuit. Fathering is a covenant concept. Mantles are released and passed through covenant. Deuteronomy 15, 17 is the law of the firstborn. Under that law, only the firstborn, the eldest son, received a double portion. They received double of what the siblings got. So when we fast forward the story to the end of Elisha's time on earth, and Elisha says, I want a double portion. We read that. And in our charismatic Pentecostal brains, when Elijah says, you've asked a hard thing, we think, well, because you know the Holy Ghost, there's only so much of him. That's irrelevant. That's erroneous. There's not only so much of him. He doesn't get up on Tuesday and go, it's double portion, blue light special day today. All the Pentecostals have a double portion anointing service because I just got an extra shipment of myself in today. That's not what happened. He said, you've asked a hard thing. If you see me when I leave, you get the double portion. The hard thing was this. To get a double portion, you were asking to be a son. And he said, there's only one proof of your sonship. If you're standing when I'm at the end of my journey. Paul said to Timothy, my true son. I'm a language person. I look at that and that says to me there that he had false sons. I suppose he had people that said, I prayed for 20 years, Paul, and God sent you to my life. You're the best thing ever. Your preaching ignites me. Your revelation ignites me. And then one day when Paul said, no, you can't prophesy now, they were gone. And so Paul's looking over his life and saying, Timothy, I had a lot of sons for a week, for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, but you're my true son. You've been with me on the mountaintop. You've been with me in the valley. Mantles are not cheap. Mantles demand pursuit. If you're going to catch a new mantle, you're going to catch something. You're going to have to invest in it. You're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to go after it. You can't just sit there and have lazy faith and say, well, if God wants to give it to me, I'll give it. You know, a lot of times, if somebody will give you their mantle cheaply, it's not worth it. People send me a Facebook message. I'm getting ready to turn my Facebook messages off on my page. But they send me a Facebook message. I don't know these people. I never met them. I never had a coffee with them. They never sewed a dollar into my life. I never prayed for them. I have no idea who they are. And they send me a Facebook message. The Lord spoke to me, and here's my number. You need to call me. And I'm like, I don't need to call you. I don't know you. I don't know if you got demons. I don't know if you're normal. I don't know if you're thirsty. I don't know what you're after. I don't know if you're wounded. I don't know what you want. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to do good to call my son and my wife. I don't have time. And then when you don't return the message, well, I thought you were a man of God, but you're just a charlatan. I messaged you 10 minutes ago. And I'm thinking, my God, is the body of Christ really this foolish? Like, do you think I could just message Bill Gates? Bill, I need you to call me because my computer's not working right. But this is our low level of revelation that we just think we can just message somebody because they're preaching and just say, you got to drop your family, drop your prayer life. Don't preach that night meeting because I need to hear from you. One pastor that I know was doing a Facebook Live. Sometimes I watch these things and I have to shut them off because it frustrates me. And he was preaching, the greatest cancer in the body of Christ is apostolic networks. And I thought, is that really the level of revelation you have? We don't have bitterness issues. We don't have racial division issues. We don't have sexual confusion issues. We don't have greed issues. We don't have the biggest cancer we've got is men and women building apostolic networks. Like, that's the biggest prophetic revelation you got. And his revelation was this, that too many of these people only pour time into their sons and daughters in their network. And you know, that's kind of like me saying to a pretty girl I'm not married to, I'm offended because you don't hold my hand. I didn't pay the price of a covenant for that. And people that have a non-covenantal understanding demand things that are not appropriate in the realm of the spirit. And they want a mantle that they don't do anything to get. Because we have this yo bro mentality. Yo bro, we're all brothers. Yo bro, we're all sisters. Well, we are, but there are different ranks of our assignment and our purpose on the earth. So in the blood, we're the same. An apostle is the same as a grandma that prays for hours and doesn't have any ministry call. But in our functionality, in the assignment on our life, there are different demands for the mantle. And we have this yo bro thing. And it fascinates me that the church is so paralyzed with this. I preach in places they're offended if you use a title. Or like one person goes, well, I don't believe in calling apostles and prophets. And I'm like, let's dissect this. Because when people say things, I want to be biblically literate. So Ephesians 4 qualifies apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says, first the apostles. The word first there is a word that means first in time, proton, first in order, first in rank. But we just say basically, look, it's scary for us to say the word apostle. It's scary for us the word to say prophet. But pastor and evangelist, we're good with. And so I'm just like, you know, I'd rather you call me yo bro than to call me, because if I'm on a door does something different in my life than a window. And if I'm trying to exit a space through a window, I'm frustrated. So if I'm trying to extrapolate from an apostle what I want from a pastor, I'm frustrated because I'm not getting huggy-nicey. I'm getting order. I'm getting establishment. I'm getting correction. I'm getting identity. And if I'm just wanting lovey-lovey affirmation, I'm frustrated. And so, you know, we don't walk into the governor's office, yo, bro, I'm so-and-so. I mean, maybe some people do, and they get tossed out. But we go in and say, yes, sir. We use titles to identify these secular functions. But when it comes to the kingdom, we get nervous. And we cheapen the authority of the mantle in people's lives. And then we wonder, you know, I went to that meeting and there was 500 people and they were all shouting, but I didn't feel anything. And then the spirit of offense rises in us because we say, well, that must not have been real because I didn't feel it. Maybe you didn't connect to it. Maybe it was pushing you outside your comfort zone. In the 1990s, I was sitting in a meeting in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and a man named Rodney Howard Brown came. I was born again, put in the Word of Faith movement. You taught the Bible for 2.5-3 hours, and then God showed up. You couldn't pray for people before you taught because signs followed the Word. So worship was irrelevant. You worshiped for 15 minutes. That was the warm-up. Or if the preachers were in the green room eating the fruit tray, then you worship for 35 minutes till they came out. And then they taught. If you didn't have a notebook and 5 Bibles and 3 translations, you were a devil and you were backslidden. You needed Jesus. And you didn't wear skinny jeans or jeans. You wore suits, ties, and dresses because we came out of the ghetto and got prosperous. You weren't driving a nice car. You didn't have faith. If you had the sniffles, you didn't have faith. And so I'm sitting in a meeting, and Rodney Howard Brown starts preaching, and some lady starts snorting next to me. And I looked, and I said, that's so demonic. The row behind me, ha, 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 people start laughing. I said, my God, this is so disrespectful. I never seen anything like this. It started rippling through the whole room. Till people were shaking, hysterically rolling down, and Rodney's just preaching. I said, the Lord said, fire, fire's coming to your life. And people are laughing. I said, this is not of God. And I'm sitting in my chair offended because anytime something happens you've never experienced, typically you get offended. And offense will keep you from receiving a mantle. And so I'm sitting there offended. And I said, this is not of God, Lord. He said, why, son? I said, because I don't feel anything. It's amazing. 800 people were in that room. 799 were all experiencing it. One wasn't, and it was me. But because I was not experiencing it, I deemed it was not of God. And then the Lord said something to me. He said, you're not experiencing it because I don't bless watchers. He said, remember when Elijah was about to be taken up, all the sons of the prophets knew that he was going to be taken up. And Elisha told them, shut up, because they were just spectators. Only Elisha caught the mantle. He said, you need to repent for being a watcher and let me cleanse you. I said, God, I repent. I closed my eyes. Now, I did not start laughing. I started weeping like a baby. All of a sudden, with eyes closed, I hear a voice. Young man, come up here. I didn't look around. I knew it was me. I rose out of my seat and walked to the front. The last thing I remember was getting somewhere near the front. The next thing I knew, an hour later, I woke up on the other side of the room under the power of God. But you see, I was missing a mantle that was sent to shift me because I didn't understand it. There are realms in God we don't understand. When Elisha looses this mantle on Elijah, when Elijah loosed it on Elisha, there was a prophetic shift and there was a fathering thing that God was doing. So when Elisha says, I want a double portion, the only way he could catch that was through sonship. This is an apostolic picture. And after he gets the mantle, the first thing he does is he raises that mantle up and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's claiming an inheritance. I want to close with this story. A number of years ago, I'm sitting in my office preparing. When I pastored, I know this is horrible. Y'all are going to get mad at me. Forgive me. My least favorite weekend was Easter weekend. Everybody came to church, but the whole church turned into Baptist church on Easter weekend. When I first started doing it, I tried to have healing means stuff. After about 3 years, they got me, and I just said, I'm just preaching 30 minutes and letting people eat turkey because it's horrible. I'm mad, they're mad, everybody's mad. So I did. I just started renting bouncy houses for the kids and have little nice dress-up things, and I just said, I'm just going to preach a simple message and let them go home. I mean, I tried to preach them out of it, but I couldn't get them out of it, so I just said, we just deal with it, and we'll all be Pentecostal next weekend. And so I'm getting ready for Easter weekend, and the Spirit of God says to me, you have a measure of Wigglesworth in your DNA. I said, no, I don't, Lord. I'm so smart, you know. He said, yes, you do, son. He said, that's why you've always been drawn to that. I said, no, I don't. He said, you do. I said, okay, I don't understand this. I know my mentor that launched me in the ministry, Dr. Hayes, was trained with Dr. Summerall, and Dr. Summerall worked with Howard Carter, but I said, I just don't see the link here. One of my friends is a woman named LaDonna Taylor. She'd been on Sid Roth many times. She used to play violin for Pastor Benny Hinn, Morris Cirillo, and she plays and people get healed. It's the most remarkable healing ministry I've ever seen. She'll play the violin. I mean, she'll play Stradivarius and twirl around someone that's deaf and their ears will just open up while she plays. It's very unusual, uncommon anointing. And so LaDonna came to Virginia to visit me. And LaDonna said, Ryan, I've just come back from England and I preach at Howard Carter's church. I said, how you preach at Howard Carter? That's the protege of Wigglesworth. I said, what happened? So she told me, and she said, I heard the most unusual story about Howard Carter. I said, what was it? She said, Brother Carter came in one night from preaching all week and was tired, laid down in his flat, about to close his eyes, and a drip of water hit him, and then another drip, and then another drip. And she said, they told her Howard got angry, looked up and saw a pipe was leaking over his head and said, I command you in the authority of the name of Jesus to stop as a drip was coming down and it stopped in the air. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus to go back in that pipe and seal up. And the drip went back into the pipe and sealed up. She said, I was telling this story to Brother Norval. And do you know what he said to me? I said, no, LaDonna, what? He said, you know, LaDonna, in my very early days, I used to do meetings with Howard Carter. And the Lord said to me, I told you there's a deposit of the Wigglesworth lineage in your spiritual DNA. You see, every mantle you connect to connects you to eternity. Many of us don't understand the power of the lineage that we're connected to. When we connect to the fabric of the body of Christ, we connect under spiritual forces that propel us into eternal destiny. And I believe tonight something was released over our lives that forever shifted us. And I want to just say this. We prophesied so much, and I already said this, but I just want to confirm it. First of all, I affirm what you guys are doing and what you're called to do. I believe it's beautiful. And I saw the Lord taking you on such a journey, and I believe there's going to be new alignments. There's going to be new adventures, but I saw even as you went in this uncharted territories, especially I saw you really raising up a strong prophetic community and even identifying your prophetic DNA, like where do I fit, who are my mentors, all that. But it was an exciting journey. And the Lord said, don't be afraid of the unknown. Don't be afraid of those things you don't understand or you don't know. There's going to be such beauty in the discovery of this season over your lives. And the Lord is mantling you with a new mantle. I believe the Lord has mantled people tonight with a new mantle. Amen. And I want to say one thing, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm done. The team ministry that you saw tonight, About 15 or 16 years ago, I was preaching in a little church, tiny church on a 100-acre farm. Crazy story. Little bitty place. And God healed a blind woman there and revival broke out. And I went into a vision. And I thought it was for then, but it wasn't. It was for now. I saw rows. I was with people and there was a row of us. We were sitting in chairs and we were popping up like popcorn. And one would get up and do something for 10 minutes and sit down. The next one would get up and do something. And I said, this is the most unusual thing. The Lord said, you'll see this day in your life. And I didn't know what it was then, but I know what it is now. It's this new breed of team ministry that God is raising up. And we're going to have to recalibrate our understanding. And if you've got a jealous demon, you've got a control demon, it's very hard for you to move that. But part of the new mantle that's being released is a mantle of team ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. I'm not going to announce this stuff. We've got products. We've got fantastic t-shirts. If you got a Glory Dwellers shirt on, stand up and turn around. Let everybody see it. The Glory Dwellers. Get yourself one of those Glory Dwellers shirts on out there at the table. I think we sold out of most of my audio. There's one more copy of Dimensions. Some of my books are out there. Also, every single person, I want to encourage you to sign up for my webinar October the 7th. I'm going to be teaching the history and nature of the Jezebel spirit, how Jezebel attacks families, how Jezebel attacks ministries, victory strategies over Jezebel. I'm going to be doing a mini Bible college type boot camp online on October the 7th. You'll get a syllabus. And if you cannot attend the class October 7th, you'll get a download code and you can go download everything. Amen. I want to thank Tori Marcel and his team from Times Square House of Prayer. We're going to be connecting and doing some things in New York and just plowing the fields for revival. But I believe he's doing a tremendous job. God is elevating him as a prophetic voice in this nation. And I appreciate him. Amen. And then Psalmist Naomi Rain that helped me tonight. Stand up, Naomi. She is amazing. I listen to Spotify all the time, but when I'm on long airplane trips, my Spotify doesn't work, and I only have two CDs on my iTunes. I have Naomi's newest CD, and I have Catherine Mullins from Karen Wheaton's Ministry, The Ramp CD. And if you don't have Naomi's CD, she's got a song called Pour Me Out. Every single person needs to get that song and get that CD. Naomi is going to be with me, and she's with me 9 out of 10 of the conferences that I host. She's going to be with me in September in Virginia, the Fog Conference. We've got Robbie Dawkins. Robbie raised a man from the dead in the UK coming. We've got my brother Sean Smith. Sean is one of the most phenomenal revival preachers I know. My sister, Apostle Yolanda Stith. She's up from Baltimore, the demon slayer. Last time I was in a meeting, she preached. Everybody started throwing up. Brandon was with me. I said, body block me. I don't want that stuff on me. But phenomenal woman of God. I'm going to be preaching my friend, Prophet Jennifer LeClaire. My spiritual daughter, Apostle Teresa Hawkins, going to be doing a breakout session. All the iHub York, Pennsylvania crew, stand up. IHUB York, Pennsylvania, led by my spiritual daughter, Apostle Teresa Hawkins. I didn't even know they were coming. They surprised me. Amazing, amazing revival community there. So you can go check all that out at RyanLestrange.com. I bless you. I bless the church. I know pastor's going to come and receive an offering. Give the Lord a hand for him.
Praise God. Wow. Now, we're not dismissing you yet. This is very important. But anyway, I put a post out before the service, NBCC, tonight with Ryan LeStrange, 6 p.m., let the glory fall. And that's what happened. And listen, in all the years of our church, since 1994, we've never had a service like this. I've never experienced the glory of God the way I did tonight in this service. So I appreciate that ministry. There were so many things happening at one time in the glory. It was absolutely amazing. But you can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on that. And so there's been an incredible deposit made, not only in this church, but in everybody that's here that's not part of this church. And so we want to receive a love offering of appreciation because God used Apostle Ryan to minister and foster that atmosphere to bring the presence the way it came in tonight. So if you need an envelope, slip up your hand. We'll pass you an envelope. Write your check out to NBCC. And let this be an over-the-top, generous seed offering. And if you want to give from the NBCC Church app, if that's on your phone, your smartphone, open up the church app and go to giving and make sure you tag it guest minister, and that offering will also go towards Ryan. I believe the Resource Center will be open at the end of the service when we dismiss you in the lobby. There's an iPad. You can also give through electronically. You can give by your debit card or a credit card if you desire to give that way. But everybody sow a seed into Ryan's ministry, Ryan LeStrange ministry. But you're going to do it to NBCC, and we'll make sure he gets the offering. But what a powerful, powerful service. And I'm ready. We're ready for the adventure. We're ready for the adventure. Praise God. Praise God. What a powerful service. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So let's go ahead and receive that offering. And I know, I don't know if all of our praise team is here, but they really gave their all tonight. The praise team, the musicians, the singers, thank you so much. And God's going to bless you and refresh you tonight. And you're going to wake up with an enormous amount of energy tomorrow, okay? Praise God. Amen. Next Sunday that's coming up, I didn't mention this to the praise team yet, okay? I didn't mention it. Maya, if you're still here now, I didn't mention it yet. But we're going to have a different service Sunday. We don't have a minister, a guest minister. We're not going to be preaching our typical message. We're just going to let the Holy Ghost lead. We're going to have a lot of worship. We're going to have go with the flow of the Spirit of God. This Gail and I already planned that out a couple of weeks ago. So that's happening this Sunday. So really come and expect to jump into the river Sunday here at NBCC this Sunday. So Maya, wherever you are, I'll call you tomorrow and tell you about that. Where are you anyway? There you are, Maya and Alan. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But that's what we're in for. So we're excited. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for sowing that seed into Ryan's ministry. We appreciate it. And praise God. Want to just make sure everybody had a chance to give before we dismiss you. We're still receiving the offering, so just give it a moment. Just give it a moment. We don't want anybody to get gypped by not being able to give in that offering, okay? My God, that was a crazy service. That was crazy.